Welcome to the Fundamental Baptist Podcast. There are many types of Baptists, but being a Baptist once meant that you were a fundamentalist. Over the years, many Baptists have strayed from the fundamentals and thus attack those who remain true to the faith. This podcast will address the issues surrounding what it means to be a fundamental Baptist.
Somebody said, Brother House, fundamentalists are changing, aren't they? No, fundamentalists don't change. Folks, quit being fundamentalists. God says when the troubles come, he said fight. You can't fight. He said withstand. You can't withstand. He said stand. What does it mean to stand? He said don't change. What? Don't change what? Number one, don't change what you believe.
Here we will reason concerning the scriptures about the doctrines we hold dear. We believe in souls being saved, lives being changed, and Bible doctrines being strengthened by the Word of God. We believe in the local church, soul winning, missions, and everything taught in the King James Bible.
I thank God tonight for this wonderful Bible. You know, I thank God it's a perfect book, and I love the Bible. Doesn't need any addition, no correction, nothing taken from it. Thank God tonight for the Holy Bible. I like it just like it is.
We are not ashamed of being fundamental Baptists, and we want to encourage others to remain true to the Bible, their Baptist heritage, and to not change what they have been given.
You just stick with the book. You can't beat this book. Why does every generation feel that we got to change it just a little bit because our daddy did it fast for this, and our granddaddy did it like that, and let's change it just a little bit. You change it, and things that are different are not the same. The same commit thou to faithful men.
Thank you for joining us in our discussion of what it means to be a fundamental Baptist.
Hello and welcome, David Baker. Welcome to the Fundamental Baptist Podcast. We're glad that you're here. I have a very important podcast topic for today, calling it Falsely Accused. Falsely accused. It's a very sobering thing, but there are and have been many people that have been falsely accused. And I'm afraid in our society and in our churches that the innocent until proven guilty is not there, that an accusation is all that has to be made and someone is accepted as guilty. Let me say this first. If someone has done something wrong to someone, absolutely. The law is there. It should be turned in. I've been the chaplain at a jail, volunteer and full-time chaplain for almost 30 years. And then as a pastor, I've turned in multiple people. And we are a mandatory reporter as pastors. And if I hear something, then it gets turned in. When someone says to me as a pastor, Pastor, is this counseling confidential? I said, it is unless you've done something illegal that I have to turn in. I'm not going to jail for anybody. No, it's not like that. Okay. And that's the way it should be. And by the way, we should teach and train our children growing up and our teenagers to be careful and to watch out for someone who's grooming them. We should make sure that our kids aren't too close to somebody else. We should help them to have a good relationship that they could come to us about anything, even if they've done something wrong, and let us know that we are going to love them and help them and support them. I probably need to do a whole podcast on that to be able to help people with it. We had 11 children, and well, we still do, and we're very careful about who they're with, what they're around, what's going on, who's there, is anybody else there that shouldn't be, and who's getting close to them. We're very, very, very careful about that. I think so many times we don't, and our children end up getting hurt and messed up. And so I'm going to do everything I can to protect my children, and we need to, and keep a good relationship with the children. So again, if someone's done something wrong, absolutely, they need to go to jail. They need to be go through the justice system and to make sure that is done. But what about if someone is falsely accused? It's a big deal. By the way, it's one of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20:16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. How many times has that been done? This is one of our moral pillars that starts in the Bible in Exodus and goes through all the way through to today. It's one of the pillars. Let me tell you a story about someone that was falsely accused. Now, a lot of times we don't know if they are. This one was proven out. It was. There was a young man, and he was working for his boss, and some of his duties, he had to go into the house to do that. The boss was gone. The wife was there, and the boss's wife said, hey, lie with me and to have sex with me. And he would not do that. One time, he was in the house by himself, and the wife of the boss grabbed him and told him to have sex with her, and he said no, and he ran. When he ran, his outer coat was left there. When her husband got home, his boss, she told him that this man who you hired came in, tried to rape me, and he left his coat here. See, here it is. And that was believed, and he went to prison. Okay, you know the story. That's Joseph. Well, how do you know it's true? Because it's the Bible, okay? It's the Word of God. That was a false accusation, and his life was messed up, and he went to prison. Now, God worked that for good, but there was still a false accusation made. And so there was one person that claimed it, and everyone believed her, and he went to prison. Does that happen? Absolutely, it does. Remember the story of Naboth. Ahab wanted the vineyard, and Naboth said, "No, this is mine. It was inherited. Get passed down from family. I don't want to sell it." And so Jezebel schemes, accused Naboth falsely of blasphemy and treason against King Ahab, and had him stoned, killed. Death penalty because of a false accusation, okay, by Jezebel. So those things happen biblically, false accusations, and of course with Christ. We'll talk more about that at the end. But false accusations, those things do happen to people. Now, I realize some people are not going to like this and attack me for it. That's fine. You can do that. But you do need to think and understand this. And by the way, if you have ever been falsely accused, you understand how big this is. I have been. We'll talk about some of that. But when you're falsely accused of something you did not do, how do you prove you didn't do it? I hope and pray if you're listening to this and you're upset, "Oh, I can't believe he would." Who am I defending? I'm not. I'm not defending anybody. But I know that there are people that are falsely accused. That happens. And we need to make sure that we understand Bible and law justice and not mob justice. Someone accuses, everyone believes it, and they're automatically found guilty. False accusers are vicious people. Okay. So many people don't realize the dangers of a false accusation. It literally destroys lives. Destroys lives. Yes, someone who abused someone, that destroys life also. But understanding a false accusation destroys someone's life. If you defend someone who's had false accusations raised against them, now you become the guilty one. And we've had that happen. I've not done anything, not been accused of anything, but if I defend somebody who's been falsely accused, now I'm the bad guy. Thousands of lives are destroyed because of this, okay? Do you want the guilty to go free? No, I want justice to be done. And God and the law has laid out justice. And that's what's supposed to happen. Why don't you go look up the story? They even made a movie about it. His name is Brian Banks. The movie is called Brian Banks. He was a young man, 16 years old, in high school. He and a girl slipped off to a back stairwell and were making out. And they did not go all the way. He went out one door to get back. She went out another, and she got caught by a hall guard and said what happened. And ended up, she falsely accused this young boy of raping her. He didn't do it. But they believed it. Mom believed it. Police believed it. Arrested him. Went to court on it. His lawyer said, "Look, just take a plea. You'll get probation. Go back home. Be done with this." And he took the plea. And after that, he got sentenced to 6 years in prison and another 5 years on probation. He was a football star. He had scholarships. He was going to play in a big school, Division I school football, and go pro. And he had the talent to do that. And that was totally gone. Spent 6 years in prison. Another 5 years on probation. Couldn't get jobs. Had to wear an ankle monitor. But he always claimed he was innocent. He was innocent. And through some things, I'll tell you the whole story. You can go look at it. Through some things, he got overturned by the California Innocence Project. And he was exonerated. And she admitted she made it up. Okay? She admitted she made it up. But years, decade plus of his life was destroyed because of a false accusation. How many times did that happen? Well, how many times did people get by with it? I understand that, but which way do you want to start? Guilty until they can prove themselves innocent, or innocent until they prove themselves guilty? So point number one in this, it has to start with innocent until proven guilty. This concept, and I looked it up where it goes back to. It goes back to ancient Roman law. I'm not going to quote the Latin, but it says the burden of proof lies on the one who asserts not the one who denies. This laid the groundwork for the presumption of innocence. Okay? That's law. Going back to ancient Roman law, the Talmud, Jewish law. Similar principles existed in Jewish law, emphasizing the fairness of not treating the accused as guilty until proven so. Well, how do you prove it? It is very hard to prove it sometimes. So here's what the law said. They would rather have someone that was guilty go free if it couldn't be proven than someone that was innocent to be punished when they did not deserve it. Like, well, that's not fair. Which would you rather have it? Would you rather be made found guilty when you didn't do it? Which would you rather have? We want justice. Justice starts with presuming innocence, okay? It starts with presuming innocent. This phrase of innocent until proven guilty was credited to British barrister, a lawyer, Sir William Garrow, used it during a trial at the Old Bailey in 1791. He coined that phrase, but it's been around forever. The U.S. Constitution doesn't exactly mention the phrase, but embodies this principle through amendments like the Fifth Amendment, due process, Sixth Amendment, right to fair trial, 14th Amendment applies to the Bill of Rights to the states. And so this innocent until proven guilty is a bedrock foundation of our country. But not to so many Christians. Someone accused is guilty. Someone accused is guilty. Why do we do that? I mean, honestly, ask yourself, if you heard today, oh, did you hear so-and-so did this? Automatically, you believe it. And they're guilty. Do you know? Was there a witness? Were there two witnesses? Did they admit it? Automatically, we believe it and are guilty. If we believe what someone tells us and it's not proven, then what is that called? I mean, that's called gossip. And how much of that flows around that is believed? So Brian Banks was overturned. The California Innocent Project had dozens overturned by being able to go back. And the ones they say that are still innocent, but are in the system and locked away, major, major ones. There have been people that have been given the death penalty. Later on, through DNA, it was proven they were not the one and they killed the wrong person. That's why it's such a big deal. It's innocent until proven guilty. And proven guilty. This is from the National Registry of Exonerations, people that were exonerated, that were found innocent. As of January 2020, over 2,547 exonerations in the United States since 1989. Since 1989. These are the only ones that are documented. How many other people were wrongly convicted is likely higher. Okay? So number one, with people, with Christians, with people in our churches, why do we want to believe so quickly? Oh, I knew that. And we automatically believe it's guilty. It may be guilty, but we're not supposed to judge it guilty. We're supposed to be innocent until what? Proven guilty. Number two, let the justice system do their job. Let the justice system do their job. Are you the judge? I'm not. Are you the jury? I'm not. Are you the executioner? I'm not. Then why do we play that? Literally, if we could, we hear what someone did, what someone said someone did, and automatically we judged, we've juried it. They ought to be killed. They ought to be castrated. They ought to be locked up. They ought to be. We are judge, jury, and executioner, and we only know part of one side of one story. How unjust is that? How unfair is that? Are you trying to defend these guilty people? No. If they're guilty, they're guilty. They get the sentence the judge gives them, and they do their time. But how many times has it been a false accusation? So number one, innocent until proven guilty. Number two, let the justice system do their job. Number three, let me do my job. What's our job as a Christian? What's our job? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you as your spiritual restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. For almost 30 years, I've helped guys when they're incarcerated. I don't ask what they did. I don't ask if they're guilty. That's not my job. I'm not the judge. I'm not the jury. I'm not the executioner. What is my job? Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. This has happened to me dozens of times. I'll do a service there and preach and then try to lead them to Christ. And afterwards, a guy with a real standoffish wall up. Well, I'm sure you read about me in the paper. No, I didn't. I was on the front page. Nope. Don't read it on purpose. Why not? Because I know most of the time they get the stories wrong. And I don't want to come in and prejudge somebody when I don't know the story. And they just... wow, and they tell me, boom, 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 what happened? Are they telling the truth? I don't know. But I know so many times the newspaper does not get it right. By the way, understand the legal system. I've been in court, I know, in 30 years, hundreds and hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. Sometimes in court, 2 or 3 times a week. I've done that hundreds of times. And people don't understand the judicial system. I'm not an attorney. I was going to college to be an attorney and was going to come back in the military as a military attorney. And that's what I wanted to do. And I'm very interested in the judicial system. But it's amazing how so many times the stories are wrong. And understanding when somebody gets charged with something, they will go through and charge them with anything and everything that they can. So many of them that are not even true, and they know that. They do that on purpose, so when they plead down, all right, we'll take away this, or I'll take away this, or I'll take away this, or I plead this, and we'll be done. They don't want to go to trial. Nobody wants to go to trial, okay? Judges don't. They want to get a jury, both attorneys. Let's settle and be done. And most cases are settled. I think 96% of the cases are settled. They don't go to trial. Going to trial, you take a risk of what happens. And so many times people take a plea. Listen, let the, number one, innocent until proven guilty. Number two, let the justice system do their job. Number three, let us do our job. What's your job as a Christian? To restore. We are to help the people involved, the accused, their family, and the one who's been hurt. And then we're to help everybody, okay? We're to help them. The victim, we're to truly help them biblically when they've been hurt. How do we help them? Through Bible, through truth. So many times people don't help the victims. They help them to be a perpetual victim for the rest of their life. You don't heal from that. You don't help people from that. You don't use what happened to you to make a difference in somebody else's life. You're a victim for life. That's not how God wants us to be. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're not to be victims. So what are we supposed to do? Do our job. We're supposed to help people. Well, an eyewitness saw it happen. Okay, here's what happens. Okay, there's an eyewitness or somebody that was hurt. That's one. We're going to go through what the Bible says later on, but you know it can't just be one. Here's what happens. They tell someone, and now we have one eyewitness, and now you have an ear witness. Is an ear witness a witness? Well, I heard about it. Now 1,000 people hear about it. So now you have 1,000 accusers with one eyewitness. Is that just? And by the way, everyone believes it. Now everyone's accusing it. Everyone's calling names. You have no idea if it's true or not. You're not an eyewitness. You're an ear witness. Someone told you about it, or you read it on social media, so it must be true. Next, be just. Be just. Gossip is a sin. Philippians 4:8 says, think on these things. Whatever things are just, pure, virtuous, praise, good report, okay? It has to go through all those 8 things before we're even supposed to think about it, much less share it with somebody else. Why in the world do we do that? Do you understand? It is a sin. It is a sin to gossip. Well, I believe it. Okay. You can believe it, but we're not supposed to. Innocent until what? Proven guilty. And then after the penalty, what do? Restore them to usefulness for society. It's amazing. People for a long time, even people locally in the community, are upset with what we do, trying to help people that are incarcerated. And I tell them, look, 98% of everybody incarcerated is going to get out. When you get out, when they get out, what do you want them to do? Do you want them to be saved, discipled, in church, serving God, using what they've been through to help somebody else? Or do you want them to go back to what they did that locked them up? Now they're a thief again. Now they're a rapist again. Now they're a murderer again. Now they're whatever. Whatever they did before, if they don't get help, they're going to do that still and worse. So we're supposed to help them. It's amazing how many people don't understand that simple thing. I've helped so many thieves and robbers. All right, let's get saved. Let's teach the Bible. Let's do right. Let's work hard. Let's get off drugs. Let's get off alcohol and have a great life. And you can. And you can. After the penalty, restore them to usefulness to society and for God. Restore them to usefulness to society and to God. Hey, if someone did something bad, who would be the best person to help other people not to do bad? That drug addict to help people not do drugs, that thief to help people not to steal. Whatever that sin was, helping other people not to do that, that's what should happen. By the way, let me change this around. What if that's your son? What if that's your boy? I have dealt with hundreds of moms. Can you please help my son? Can you please help my son? What if it is your son? If your son got accused or your son sinned, what do you want? I want somebody to help him. And we're supposed to. Justice. The guilty person gets a penalty for that. After the penalty is paid, now we help them. Or if the penalty is assigned to them while they're incarcerated, let's help them. If someone got hurt and they're a victim, then let's help them to heal so they can go on to have a good life. So it's not, this is what I am the rest of my life. No, this is what happened to me. That's not how I define myself. We're not helping people if we're not helping them to heal the right way. What if it were you? What if it were your son? I mean, people, like I said, put to death because of a false witness. Found later, DNA. Sometimes people recant and they kill the wrong person. Okay. So you cannot, if you have been falsely accused, how do you prove that you were innocent? How do you prove that you didn't do that? And by the way, when someone accepts a plea, please understand that does not mean they're guilty. Well, I would never take a plea if I didn't do it. You can't say that unless you're there. Listen, I've been there hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, and they've been locked up. True story. I could give you his name. I know him. I talk to him often. Working a job, by the way, hard worker, incredibly skilled in what he does. And one day on the job, they arrested him, took him to prison, took him to jail. Didn't even know what for. They accused him of these things that he had never done. He had been living with a woman who had a teenage girl, and they broke up. And, they moved out. He ended up dating another girl and moved her in. The old girlfriend didn't like that and got the daughter to accuse him of doing things to the daughter. Now he's in jail. 26 months in jail without going to court. 26 months, over 2 years. The girl grew up and realized what was done, and she's like, that didn't happen, and she recanted. She told the police she didn't do it. They came to him with a plea, and they'll knock it down from this to this if he signs it today. If not, they're going to go to trial with him. He took the plea. Here's the phrase. Ask anybody like that. Their phrase is, where do I sign? Where do I sign? And he took a plea. He got out of jail that day. I'm done. I can't live in this. I said, I felt like if I lived in that jail one more day, I'd die. He got out. Now he's on the registry. Now he's got to be careful everywhere he works, everywhere he goes, everywhere he lives. He's controlled by that. Everything he does is controlled by that. Well, she said it was didn't happen. Yeah, but he took a plea. Not everyone that takes a plea is guilty. Please understand that. So I would never. You have no idea what you'd do. I know too many people that took a plea because they told them, look, get probation. Look, you'll get out today. They told them that, and they believed it. And it's a mess. I hope and pray that you are never falsely accused. It is not a fun thing to be able to go through. Most people financially can't defend themselves. They get a public defender. If you knew the system, how many cases a public defender has, how much little time they've done, they're not there to take it to trial. They're there to get them to take a plea and be done with them. Next. If you could imagine what that is. And if you got money, then you can hire an attorney and money takes care of it. So many times it's not guilt or innocent. It's how much money you have to defend yourself. It really is. False accused. Boy, those things happen. Had an assistant pastor one time. He was out soul winning, and he met a lady and said, "Hi, my name's so and so." And he invited her to church. She said, "I heard that the staff at that church was gay." And he said, "Really? Hi, my name is so and so, and I'm one of the assistant pastors at the church." And she said, "Oh, well, I didn't believe it. I just heard that." No, you believed it before he got there. Falsely accused. What do you do? How do you prove that? You know, how do you prove that? Had a lady, she was weird, started coming to church, came a few weeks. My wife and I were gone on a vacation or out of town or something. And this lady I'd met once or twice, and I met her family because of a funeral. I don't remember if one of the, I did the funeral for their mother. They had like 10 or 11 children in the family, adults. The mother was like 80 some years old. I don't know if I met her in a nursing home or met one of the boys in jail or something. But anyway, that connected me to the family, and they asked me to do the funeral for the mother. And so I met this lady at the funeral, 5 minutes for her mom. Well, she didn't have a church, so she came to our church a couple weeks later. She walked into the church on a Sunday night. This other lady had been coming for a few weeks, weird lady, I call her crazy lady. She started screaming at the top of her lungs. This is before church started. At this woman, brand new, first time there. You're having an affair with a pastor. This lady, first time in church. She met me for 5 minutes at a funeral and came to the church. And she just like totally weirded out. Of course, she left. The lady who accused her never came back to church either. Prove you didn't do that. I hope you're never falsely accused, but what do you do if you are? Prove you didn't do that. I had volunteered at the jail for 20 years. I wrote a book to be able to help the guys so I could help them more for the jail. It's called I'm Never Coming Back Here. And now it's a course inside the jail to help them. And the chaplain that had been there for 20 years retired. And so they needed a new chaplain. The sheriff called and asked me if I would interview and apply for that job. And I always complained about, I thought there was so much more that could be done to help the guys at the jail if people really cared. So, okay, now I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. So I showed up to apply. The board was there. They went around and asked me questions. I answered all of them. One guy asked me this question, said, Pastor Baker, have you done anything that if it came to light, that would cause a blight on this organization or Christ? And I said, 30 years ago, before I was a preacher, yes. Since then, no. All right. Thank you. Got done with all the questions left. Thought it went well. I wrote the book on it. I've been a volunteer there for 20 years. Everything they asked me, I explained. What's your philosophy? How do you help them? Da-da-da-da-da. So I didn't get the job. Okay. I don't understand why. They hired another guy. And it didn't work out. And now they needed to hire another chaplain. So the sheriff called me again. And he said, look, last time I just let the board decide. This time I'm going to be involved. Would you please apply again? I had taken the sheriff out for lunch before while he was still running, shared with him my philosophy, his ideas. He's a Christian Baptist, and he wanted to institute those things. So he wanted me there. So interviewed again, and it was a fight. There were people from different religions who didn't want me there. But I won the vote, and I became the chaplain. At the first board meeting, while I'm the chaplain, before the board meeting, the president of the board told me, he said, David, he said, you interviewed the best both times. He said, you were the best person we interviewed both times. I said, okay, I thought it went well. He said, but here's why you didn't get it the first time. When that guy asked you, by the way, the guy that asked me, have you done anything if it came to light that would cause a blight on us or Christ? He was a retired captain for the police department. Okay, retired captain who now is retired and now he wants to be in the ministry. And he asked that question. I answered it and was done. He said, after you left, that retired captain from the Columbia Police Department said, well, I need to say something about Pastor Baker. We, Columbia Police Department, caught him in a car alone with a woman in this parking lot at this at 2 a.m. in an embrace with a woman who was not his wife. He told the whole board that. Now the president of the board is telling me. And immediately I was like, that is not true. That did not happen. I've never done that. I don't even ride alone with a car. I'm not in a room alone unless the door opened. And all these bars you put up to protect yourself, that never happened. He said, well, it's in the past. Like, no, it's not in the past. How do you prove you're innocent? By the way, he told them that for a year, the people on the board believed it. By the time I could say it didn't happen, those people, some of them were off the board. Who knows how many people they told, how many people believe that? False accusation. Prove you didn't do it. Prove you didn't do it. So I tried the best I could to prove you didn't do it because I was incredulous. I'm falsely accused of this. So it happened at 2 a.m. So a lady in our church used to have a husband that was on the police department. I led him to Christ. He passed away in a car accident. I went to her and I said, told her what happened. She's like, wow, yeah, I never heard that. I said, hey, any of the people who were on the ship with your husband you're so close to? Yeah, I'm close to some of them. Would you ask them about that? Sure. She asked him about that. They came back. One guy said, no, that never happened. He said, if that happened, we'd all known about that. He goes, man, Pastor Baker caught in the car with a woman. Man, that would have flown through the radios like crazy. He goes, no, there's no way that happened. Who said that? And she told him who, this former captain. And he said, sounds like something he would say. Then I went to the now captain at the Columbia Police Department. His name is Kenny Brady. I went to grade school with him. And he was a year older than me, but we knew each other. And I said, hey, here's the deal. Here's what happened. He told me the accusation could take a look. He said, man, I know that didn't happen. He said, if that would happen, we're a small town. Okay. And I'm not the most, I'm known. People know me. They know my family. And he said, look, if that would have happened, we would have all known that. I promise you that didn't happen. And I said, would you go through your records and do a search and look up just in case anything was logged there? I said, sure. And he did. And he called me and said, look, there was nothing in there at all. And he said, who said that? And I told him who. And he dropped his head and shook his head. And he said, that sounds like something he would say. Two people said that. By the way, when I heard that, I know the guy. I know him fairly well. I called him immediately on the phone. I said, what in the world are you doing saying this? Oh, yeah, yeah, you remember. Like, what do you mean I remember? That never happened. Oh, yeah, 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 it did. And he's covered himself. Why? He wanted the job as a chaplain. And he knew I interviewed best. I wrote the book. I've been a volunteer there for 20 years. He knew that I was going to get it. So he had to bring a false accusation against me so he could get the job. Now I'm furious. I would love to go back to my old nature and take care of that in a different way. Furious. I hope those things never happen to you, but what happens if you are falsely accused? How do you prove yourself innocent? I tried my best in that situation, but listen, there are people who heard it who I know still believe it. I never got a chance to prove that I didn't or show them the proof that I did not do that. Crazy. By the way, later on when I ran for county mayor that I didn't want to do, but our county mayor, who's now a U.S. congressman and our former state rep and the head of the Republican Party who retired, asked me to run, this stuff came out. This guy was running for county commission. And this stuff got out, and it was gigantic false accusation. So I pushed it again with him. Oh, and guess what? Now he has a woman friend who was on the police. Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw you. Yeah, it was you. I pulled you out of the car that night. Never happened. And the story, and I haven't given you the names, but the story from people who work there said, oh, yeah, she was a bad woman, and she became this rank, and she became this rank by doing this with these men. That was the accusation. I'm not giving the names, and I'm not doing that, but that's what was said. So he got one of his people to be able to, oh, yeah, yeah, to back up his story. Now you got two witnesses. Just because there's two witnesses, is that even true? Two false witnesses. Sad. I hope you don't have to go through any of those things, but that happens. I'm not going to go through this whole story for time, but I know of a case and was close to it where a stepmom had two girls bring a false accusation against the guy to get custody of one of the girls. And one of the girls later on, after a guy took a plea, said that, yep, that's what happened. She stirred us up to say this so she could get custody of one of the children. He took a plea. He took a plea because he would spend not one night in jail. He'd have to go to a class once a week for 6 months and be done. No probation, no registry, no anything. He took a plea. Oh, when the 6 months for the class, the state made a new law and made it retroactive. And now he's been on the registry for 20 plus years. Can't live certain places, can't work certain places, can't go to the park, can't go to the ball game to watch his son play football. False accusation. It's out there. Okay? It's out there. Well, are you trying to say these people? I'm not saying anything. There are false accusations, biblical. And in life, we all know that. Why are we trying to judge this? I'm not the judge. If anything, I'm the restorer. I'm the restorer. Biblically, logically, legal, innocent until proven guilty. It's sad. We don't live that way. The setups. Well, I saw a picture. You have no idea what you saw. Dr. House got a call one night late to come to emergency counseling at a house. He felt the Holy Spirit, something may not be right, brought his assistant pastor with him years ago, young preacher. And he went and knocked on the door. When he knocked on the door, this woman in lingerie jumped out to fall on him. He athlete and moved out of the way. And in the bushes was a cameraman to take a picture. She was supposed to fall into his arms in lingerie and get a picture of it, and his ministry would be destroyed. We got a picture. Look at Jack Kyle's with a woman in lingerie who's not his wife. We got him. Now, do you prove that? We don't know the stories, but we have judged, jury, and executioner. He got out of the way. They didn't get the picture. What if they had? What if they had? It is crazy. Again, I keep saying this. I hope it doesn't happen to you. But there's a part of me, for people who believe the false accusations, just wait. There's the sowing and reaping. You believe a false accusation. You build on a false accusation. Just wait till that happens to you. You'll be singing a different song. Again, I don't wish that on anybody. There's a part of it that does, because that's just wrong. So what does the Bible say? Okay. 1 Timothy 5:19. Against an elder, okay, pastor, against an elder, receive not an accusation. Receive it. Don't even listen. Don't receive it. Receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Did two or three witnesses see this happen? Then I'm not going to hear it. I'm not going to receive it. I'm not going to believe it. If I heard it, I'm not going to believe it. If I can't, I'm not even going to listen to it. God says not to receive an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Deuteronomy 17. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. What if one person saw them kill somebody and they saw it and it's true and it's real and they know it happened? According to the Bible and law, he was not to be put to death because it was too easy to have one false witness. And they'd rather have a guilty man go free than an innocent man be put to death. Argue with God. Go to God about that. I'm sorry. I wish we knew everything. I wish it could be totally justice and we got a video camera of everything that happened. We could play it back, but we don't. Okay. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. God says there's one witness, you don't even rise up against him for any iniquity, for any sin. What in the world do we do with that? That's Old Testament. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, anyway, in Matthew it says, after that you go to him. If he hears you, gain your brother. If not, then take one or two more than the mouth of two or three witnesses. Every word should be established. Even in the New Testament, bringing that forward, the word is established by two or three witnesses. And with Jesus, Matthew 26. Now, verse 59, now the chief priests and elders, all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus. They sought false witnesses against Jesus. Even if they have witnesses, they could be false to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, you couldn't find none. They found none. At the last came two false witnesses. They knew when they found one false witness, it didn't matter. They found none. They had to have two. They had to have two. And in Mark 14, it explains that more. And the chief priests and all the council sought four witnesses against Jesus to put him to death and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. They could find many false witnesses, but none of them agreed. They had to have two or three that agreed on what they saw. And there rose certain and bear false witness against them, saying, we heard him say, I'll destroy the temple that is made with hands. Within 3 days, I will build another made without hands. But neither did their witness agree together. Wow. That's Bible. That's what it's supposed to be. Again, I'm sorry for anyone who's hurt. I'm sorry for anyone who's taken advantage of. I'm sorry for anyone who got sinned against. But for us to make an accusation, biblically, it's supposed to be two or three witnesses. So, innocent until proven guilty. Let the judge and the system, judicial system, do their job. Let us do our job, okay? Let us do our job to do what we're supposed to be. Let them judge righteously. By the way, God said, judge righteously. Judge righteously, man, I'm not the judge. I can't judge them righteously. We judge, and again, like I said, we heard half of one side of a story. We heard a part of one side of the story and have no idea, really, the whole truth of it. All right, there we go. Crucify me. have at it, okay? This is gigantic. It's a sobering thing. And if you have ever been falsely accused, you understand and you're nodding. Now let's make sure we are not judging and believing in someone else without knowing the story. Let's do our job and let the judicial system do their job. Okay? God bless you. Take care. We'll see you on the next lesson.
Thank you for listening to the Fundamental Baptist Podcast. If you have any questions, you can email us at thefundamentalbaptistpodcast@gmail.com.